reporter from the Boston Globe defined faith as believing in the improbable or unlikely. And I think that is why so many people think of faith as not having the evidence to support what you believe in. Because to them, faith is believing in the improbable, something that's unlikely. This is a worldview of faith that people who don't have a religious faith think of. Because every single person in the world today has faith. When you were driving here this morning, the church, you had faith that the person in the lane next to you was going to stay in that lane. In Nebraska, every person that lives in this state and up in the north has faith that in the winter, it is going to get cold. Farmers have faith that in the spring, it's going to rain. And that's the time where they need to start planting. Every single person has faith. Things that they believe. Things that they trust in. Things that they hope in. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have faith. Muslims have faith. Even atheists have faith. They have faith that there is no God. Evolutionists also have faith. An evolutionist can give you a very good definition of faith, and that is that biblical faith cannot be proven by evidence. And really, that's about their definition of faith, is trying to bash somebody else's faith. Evolutionists think that having faith in a creator is silly. But yet, the theory of evolution, that man was created from a spontaneous blast, and over the age of the earth of 65 million years, we've formed into this unique creature that we are today. And that makes more sense than a creator. Or Muslims believe in Muhammad instead of Jesus, because there is no way that God would send his only son to earth, only to die on the cross. That doesn't make sense to them. So, Muhammad is the Messiah in their eyes. Jesus was just another prophet. But as Christians, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God because... Can we answer that question? Can we answer that question? What is your faith? And that's what I want to talk with you guys about this morning. Can we give a defense of our faith? Can we give a defense of our belief? Can we stand up when people are trying to put us down and go the evidence from the Bible? Can we prove our faith? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. Please, everybody, take out your Bibles and follow along with me today as we look through God's Word on this topic of faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15 reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." What is your defense? I guarantee you I could make many of you very uncomfortable if I were to call you out and have you stand up and give a defense of why you believe in the things you believe in. I experienced this firsthand at Florida College. I was taking an evidences class on defending the faith. And from other people that have attended Florida College, they've had similar stories in their evidences class. So I think it's something that the professors have to do. But they said, "Who here can defend their faith?" And so everybody kind of looks to the Bible majors like, "I don't know, you're a Bible major, shouldn't you know this stuff?" And so one of the kids in my class stood up, a kid that I look up to and has great Bible knowledge. And he's like, "I believe in the Bible because we have Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecies. We have historical documents that prove the validity of the Bible. And we have writings from Josephus that he records the time of Jesus and his life here on earth. And he sits down and all the kids are like, wow, he said that better than I could have. I mean, he had some big points. And then the teacher just kind of walks back to his desk and shakes his head and says, yeah, wow, that was good. Can you show me where all those prophecies are? What prophecies did Jesus fulfill? And the kid starts to sink down in his seat as he knows where this is going. Then the teacher says the historical documents also included many other historical documents besides just the Bible. How do you know that those aren't inspired, and what makes the canon of the Bible more inspired than those? The kid still had no answer. And he said Josephus in his writings referred to a man named Crispus. We're not really sure if he's referring to Christ, so all of your historians just went down the drain in that argument. And so the teacher asked the question again, who here can give a defense for their faith now? Anybody have an extra defense that they would like to make? And the class was speechless. And I was scared, because going there and hearing those statements that kid made, I would have said probably some of the same things. Although before the school year, I don't think I knew who Josephus was or anything about that. But it scared me after hearing the teacher just rhetorically, just putting him down quite easily. And yet our faith stood flat. Nobody in the class was able to give a defense of their faith. And it scared me. I need to be able to give a defense of the faith and the hope that is within me. And over the last year, I've been privileged to take classes in this and study with a preacher who knows his stuff in the area of evidences. And so this morning, I want us to pay attention and realize, why do you believe what you believe in? I hope that when we leave this morning, we can all have full confidence in saying that our faith is right. Our faith is true. That it's not just believing in the improbable, but we are believing in something that is true. And that the things in this Bible, the inspired Word of God, these things happen. Because if we can't answer those questions, we need to think about why we're even here in the first place. We have a dire need for faith. Faith is something more than just driving to church and hoping that the people in the lane next to you will stay in their lane. It's deeper than that. It is essential to our walk with God. Look over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is impossible to please God without faith. We must have it. Look at the diction used in this verse. We see impossible and must. Those are strong words that we need to take very seriously in our lives. Because faith is something that God does not take lightly. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, the chapter before this, 10 and verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We live by faith. But not only do we live by it, we walk by faith. And we read that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And lastly, we read over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I hope you are beginning to see why faith is important, and why it is essential, and why you need it in your life as a follower of God. These verses show the importance of faith. Based off the last four verses we read, we see that we must have faith. That we live by faith. And that we walk by faith. And lastly, faith is what we hope for. Without faith, why bother coming to church? Why believe what you believe in? But how strong is our conviction for your faith? In Hebrews 11 verse 1, we see the word in the second part, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is used in the King James Version and the New King James Version. But I think better words could be used than just evidence. It's stronger than just evidence for what you believe in. This is a conviction. This is the assurance of things that we have. But why do you believe what you believe? If we can't answer that, how strong is our conviction? How strong? I would not call that assurance if we cannot answer that question. There should be no doubt in our mind. And I think one reason for that is that we have wrong answers for why we have faith. Wrong answers for why we have faith. And I think that some of these are maybe things that we struggle with here today. Maybe these are answers that if somebody says, you know, you go to church 3 times a week, you're there all the time, you're hanging out playing softball with the people at your church, what's the big deal about all this church stuff? Why do you believe? What's your faith? I hope that these are the answers we do not go to when people ask us those type of questions. And the first is that, well, everyone knows the Bibles, right? And I think that could not be anymore not true at all. Not everyone knows the Bible is right. In fact, more people believe in the Quran, the holy book of Muslims, than they do the Bible. Sometimes we need to break out of our little bubble here in America and think that everybody goes to church. Everybody's at least semi-religious and they know a little bit about the Bible. No. On the big scale of things, there's more important things in people's life than the Bible. And one of those is the Quran, especially overseas. And many people today that are atheists believe that this book, the book that you have out in front of you, is just a book of fairy tales. That, yeah, I know what the Bible is, but that doesn't mean it's right. But I think that this is a good thing to not be in the majority like many other religions may be becoming or already are, such as Islam. In Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in verse 13 reads, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And I think that is a danger of being in the minority, in the majority. Is when we're in the majority and around so many people that believe what we do, we go to reasons like this. This is our reasoning. Well, everyone knows it's right. But if we agree with what everybody else agrees with and what they find to be true, is that really faith? Well, if everybody else is doing it, so I guess it must be right. That's not faith. That's just going with the flow of things. Back over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, with which is according to faith." We need to look to Noah as an example of faith. Someone who only 8 people were saved. He saved himself and his family while the whole world mocked him and laughed at him for what he was doing. And that's faith. It takes faith to be different. Another reason that some people say for why they have faith is because He lives within my heart. And for those of us who are baptized and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus does indeed live within our hearts. But I don't think that's a strong enough claim in showing faith to say to somebody why you believe what you believe in, because Jesus lives in your heart. Saying He lives within my heart is a Bible classroom answer, as Brother Gary would say. That's saying, I'm not really sure, so I'm going to say something that sounds good. He lives within my heart. Because if you say that to somebody who's not a believer, they're going to say, well, what does that mean? And then you're going to find yourself searching for things and just grasping at straws. Because you can't answer, He lives within my heart. And people that say He lives within my heart could say that for any type of faith, any religion. TV evangelists that are on those little TV channels that you see them just moving around. They got the spirit inside them. Everybody's clapping, coming up, doing miracles. I mean, they will say that He lives within them. They got the spirit inside. The spirit's cooking sometimes. What about Muslims? They'll say that Muhammad lives in their heart, that they're willing to die for the faith. What about the Muslims who crashed into the Twin Towers on 9/11? I guarantee you everybody over there would say that they had a burning in their heart. That's why they did those things. What makes our faith different than them? So when we go to something like, He lives within my heart as a reason for our faith, what makes us different than any other religion out there? My biggest pet peeve as a wrong answer for faith is because my parents told me so. And I think this is a sign of people that are not strong Christians. When you go to an excuse, when you go to an answer as, my parents told me so. That is not faith. Because when you use this as your reasoning, you're just doing things because someone told you to. A prejudice is defined as a conclusion before or without facts. And I think it's fair to say that there are probably very many Christians today that have strong prejudices for things that they do not even know where to go in the Bible to prove that things are wrong. Because my parents told me so. And that's their reasoning. They do not have a biblical faith, but yet they have a biased opinion. That's all that answer is. That's not faith. Lastly, possibly one of the worst Bible classroom answers, I took a leap of faith. That's my faith. I took a leap of faith. Someone told me that I'm not going to be able to understand everything before I get baptized, but as long as you accept Jesus as your Savior, Lord and Savior, just be baptized. The rest will come later. Just take that leap of faith for Jesus. Get in the water. Is that a reason for your faith? It makes me think of something that was pretty popular. Maybe it still is. I don't know. People are doing it in high school. It's called a trust fall, where you act like you're about to fall and you tell the person behind you, like, will you catch me? Or usually it's the person behind that initiates this, not the person just wanting to fall, but the person behind, like, hey, let's do a trust fall. Do you trust me? And the person's like, no, but yet they do it anyway. That's what it's like these people that say, I took a leap of faith. They're doing it, but do they really know what they're doing? Do they really believe? Is this a conviction? Do they have assurance for what they're about to do? Or is it just a leap of faith? And I think those are all wrong answers for why you should believe. But on the flip side, I think there is a right answer for why you should believe. I think the right answer is that you need to weigh the evidence. Examine the scriptures. Read over these things. Know what's in the Bible. Read over these things. Examine it. See if it makes sense. Not because I tell you so, and so you accept it as true. You're a human. You have brain functions. Use them. Open up the scriptures. Read the words that are here. Tie up the loose ends. See what this is talking about. See what prophecies Jesus fulfilled. Weigh the evidence that is in the scripture. And when you start weighing this evidence, that's when you can start to build a conviction for and against your faith, realizing what things are true and knowing things to counter different people that are going to make different arguments, because you know where the right answer is in the Bible. You have faith. You can go to the scripture to prove them wrong. In a faith, building one that's not based off prejudices, one that's biased, well, my parents told me so, or reasoning like that. How about let's start using reasoning like the Bible tells me so? Faith causes us to trust in the Lord with our whole heart. And if we do not have a strong faith, then we are not going to be trusting in the Lord with our whole heart, but more trusting in ourselves sometimes, or trusting in our parents, or trusting in the preacher. But you need to realize why you believe what you believe. If you're coming to church every Sunday and just sitting there and letting the words bounce off you, what good are you doing? You need to have a conviction for your faith. You need to have assurance in what you're reading. Know what you're reading. Let it sink in and make sense. Examine the scriptures and weigh the evidence. And when we do that, we can develop a New Testament faith. And I'm briefly going to go into this New Testament faith because we are going to be talking about this much more tonight, on how to develop a true New Testament faith. But when we look at the New Testament, who better to look at than the apostles as an example for faith? I mean, they were around Jesus the most. They were witnesses to things. I mean, they had reason to believe. They saw. Well, maybe that's not the best reasoning to look at the apostles for faith, because the apostles are different than we are. Because I don't know how many of you can say that we've witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, but I know I can't. And that's what makes the apostles apostles, is that they were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So on a side note, if anybody today says that they're an apostle, it's either two things. One, they don't know what they're talking about. Or two, they're just lying because they're a false teacher. Apostles were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And they had to witness those things. They had to see to believe. Look over in Acts chapter 1. When they were trying to find a replacement for Judas after Jesus had ascended into the heavens, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Therefore of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." This is showing the qualification of those who were to be apostles. Ones who were witnesses to the miracles, wonders, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And before this, they picked Matthias as the replacement for Judas. We also read in John chapter 15 and verse 27, of just another verse showing that they were witnesses to the resurrection. But the apostles were witnesses to the resurrection. And some people may look at the apostles and wonder, how can I have faith like an apostle? I mean, look at the apostles. They went out in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. They're out there teaching all these people. I mean, I just can't teach like them. I don't have all those miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues and do those things. How can I get the faith that the apostles have? And they just want to see. You know, the apostles, they were able to see. That's why they believed. If only I could see, then I would believe too. I think a great example of this is in John chapter 20, where the scripture reading was at. John 20, beginning in verse 29, and Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We often refer to Thomas in this passage as the doubting Thomas. The one who was not going to believe unless not only did he have to see Jesus, but he says in verses 25, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Not only was seeing what Thomas had to do, he had the touch, he had the feel. He probably had to get all five senses in there just to believe in Jesus. And that was a rhetorical statement. He did not need to do all five senses such as taste and smell. Just, that's free, I'm sorry. But Thomas, he saw, he touched, and he believed. But for us, it's different. We're not like the apostles. We don't believe because we see. We believe because we have faith. And how do we get that faith? We'll continue reading in verse 30. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The apostles had to see to believe. But then the apostles, the disciples of Christ, those who saw him, those who were witnesses to Christ, wrote these things down. And we read what they write. We read their writings. And for us, that should be faith. Because when the apostles, when they saw Jesus, do you think they were gaining faith? When they saw Jesus, when they were in the upper room after he resurrected, do you think they saw him and thought, wow, I have faith now. I've seen a man who was dead and is alive. That did not give them faith. That gave them knowledge. That gave them knowledge of who Jesus was that led to faith. And for us, that is why we do not need to see to believe. But mainly for us, we need to read to believe. And that is how we can increase and grow in our faith. And over the course of this summer, I have worked with Don Patton at the Hot Springs Church of Christ. And we have looked at many, many evidences for the faith. And people say, well, why should I believe in the Bible itself then? How can you prove the validity of the Bible? If this is where I'm going to as my source for faith. It's not the only source of faith, by the way. I don't want to stress that. But people say, well, how can you prove the Bible then? I looked at so many examples. I could make a sermon out of each and every one of them. And I would be here past Christmas to defend the faith, to defend the Bible, to know why I believe what I believe. Things such as the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Old Testament manuscripts. I mean, we have Old Testament manuscripts, and people say that the Bible is not real because you can't prove that you don't have the documents. Who's ever saying that doesn't know what they're talking about, because we have manuscripts. We have the documents of the Bible. We have the bone box of James, the brother of Jesus, with certain documents inside that. We also found the tombs of, I say we, but I say those, not me, but those who have actually been doing the digging and research. They found the tombs of Caiaphas, the high priest who Jesus went before, Pontius Pilate, Herod the Great. How do we know who these people are? People of the world just look at these as another name, but for us as Christians, we know who these people are because they existed. These people are real. This should make us grow in our faith, because what we're reading is true. These things happened. There are so many reasons for us to have faith and to believe that what we're reading is true, and that these events really did happen, that a worldwide flood came and destroyed the earth except for 8 people. I could just go through the whole Bible. I'm trying to just pick one big event, but there's so many things that happen. But we need to be able to defend our faith and know why we believe what we believe. And I hope you will be back tonight as we will be discussing why I should believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And it's hard to do a sermon on faith without even going into the resurrection of Jesus. So I had to hold back before I got into that, because we will be going in depth tonight on more faith. Why should I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Because as Christians, that is the crux of our faith. That is why we're here. Because of Jesus. Take him out of the Bible, and what do you have? You have stories. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord. He is our Messiah. He came. He was resurrected from the dead. And we'll be going more in depth again tonight about that. But I hope this morning has not just been just different arguments and examples and verses about what faith is. But I hope it has been encouraging for you to realize why you believe what you believe in. How to develop a New Testament type of faith. How we can look to the apostles and their writings and believe. How we need to weigh the evidence, not just take what we hear and accept it as truth, but examine the scriptures for ourselves and develop a strong faith. One last verse over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The firm foundation of God is always going to stand still. And for those of us who are rooted in it, we will not be shaken. But if we're unable to give a defense of the hope that is within us, if we're not able to know why we're a Christian, why we believe what we believe, our faith is not rooted in Jesus. Our faith is not rooted in God, and we will be shaken. So this morning, I hope that everybody here can give a defense of the hope that is within you. And we'll go more in depth about that tonight, and hopefully by the end of the day, we will be much stronger in our faith, having real evidence to prove it, even though some people think that you can't prove the Bible with evidence. It's just fairy tales. Leave proof to the scientists, because they know what real proof is. But at this time, We like to extend the Lord's invitation to those of you who have not yet been baptized, who have faith and believe that Jesus is the Lord and He resurrected from the dead, to be baptized into His name. Or for those of you who are not yet Christians, but have not been living the way of Christianship, whatever your need may be, please do not hesitate and come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.